When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's episode of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. I am Craig Fowler, and on this occasion I am joined by Joel Sked.
Hello.
And once again we are counting down the 12 best players in the Scottish Premiership in a particular position. Last week we did goalkeepers, this week it's fullbacks. Joel, how did you find this exercise, researching for this podcast?
I came into it with a bit of trepidation. I thought, oh, there's going to be some shit on there. You're asking which players fit into fullback rather than centre back, and Marcus Fraser, like, surely he's not putting Marcus Fraser in his top 12. And then,
by the way, Marcus Fraser would be in my top 15, probably.
Okay, I mean, he's solid enough. I just don't think he's been as good as he has been in the past, and don't he's certainly not, I'm sorry to say, not the best fullback at St Mirren. But no, I actually found it got to the point where it was kind of tough to make decisions to leave some people out. So yeah. there were a few players who were left out that hard done by.
Yeah, we can maybe go then, because last time when we finished the last one, we didn't really kind of explain any kind of reasoning for guys that had been left off. And we had a few St Johnstone fans asking us where Xander Clarke was. So we'd like to tell you now, the reason Xander Clarke wasn't in either of our top 12s is because he's not any good.
Yeah, I don't think he's had a very good season. I think
he's not had a very good season. He's not had a very good, like, three seasons now. So no, that's enough. Like, he used to be very good when he first came in the team instead of Alan Manus. We were massive fans of Alan Manus, but Clarke was the better performing goalie at the time. Since his first couple of years, though, he's just consistently not been very good. And it was the same again this season. Like, going back to what I was kind of saying last week, like, judging the keepers over, like, very impressive saves against mistakes they've made. I think Clarke had made one fewer impressive save than he had mistake this season. He hadn't really done either. He's kind of had a quiet campaign, but still, not enough.
I think St Johnstone, obviously, there's a lot of talk about the goal scoring and lack of goals. I think if they had had a better goalkeeper, I think that could have helped them win games or draw games that they lost or win games that they drew.
I think I saw somebody argued back, a St Johnstone fan argued back saying, I think it was a St Johnstone fan saying, like, on our behalf, saying if St Johnstone had just an average goalkeeper in terms of a top flight, then they would be fifth. Could even be fourth, to be honest. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, fullbacks. So there's a couple, I'll get to some at the end that I'll left. Say guys who came a bit close, and then we can maybe talk about them briefly once things are wrapped up. But there's a couple that I just kind of left out of consideration altogether for two reasons. To get a bit more variety and not just have as many Celtic and Rangers players. Always looking to do that with these lists. And also because I've not seen a whole lot of them. There's not a big sample size. So I have neither John Joe Kenny of Celtic or Nathan Patterson of Rangers.
Yes, I didn't consider either.
No.
I think Nathan Patterson will, of course, feature on this list many times down the years.
I didn't even look at Kenny at all, but I had a look at Patterson's stats before deciding ultimately to leave them both out. And I think, Patterson probably deserves to be in this list. But he's, of a point of principle, he's not in it.
Yeah, on talent alone, he's definitely deserving of a place on this list. But I think it's one of those where you just have to make judgment calls when we do these lists in terms of players who going on past reputation, for example, or the lack of game time. And I think lack of game time. There's other ones like Jason Naismith as well. We know what Jason Naismith can do. I think he's been a positive signing for Ross County, certainly in attacking wise. But he's only arrived in the arrived in January, so it's because of the number of players who were under consideration, I think it was fair to leave players off who have not played that much.
Jason Naismith was a weird one because it was somebody that came into my consideration. I don't have him either, but like for instance, a lot of his stuff this season has like contradicted. Like let me give you an example. Like so, he takes a lot of crosses, but his crossing's not been very good this year in terms of picking people out.
Mm.
He doesn't dribble really much this season, but when he does dribble, he's very successful at it. He's quite good in one-on-one situations with opposing attackers, but he doesn't get into those very often either. So it's like everyone kind of contradicts. So it's just like, I don't really know what to make of him. And kind of, he's somebody with a kind of long background in Scottish football. But if it hadn't been for the fact he's had a couple of pretty serious injuries and he's not been that great for County, he's been all right. I think maybe if it hadn't been for that injury, then I'd just be more inclined to have him in my top 12 because I've certainly rated him very high in the past. But it's kind of one of those ones where you don't know whether this is just a kind of new version of him and the injuries have diminished his abilities as a player. And that's why he didn't come into my top 12. But anyway, let's go on to guys who did get in. And at my number 12, the pick I'm definitely least happy with. And I probably shouldn't even have him in my top 12 at all. The only reason I've got him in my top 12 is because I've seen him play at a higher level this season and play a lot better than he's done than he showed at any point for his actual club. So at number 12, I have Motherwell right back, Stephen O'Donnell.
Snap.
You must be for the exact.
No, sorry. I was scrolling the wrong way. I've got him just slightly higher.
Slightly higher. Yeah. You must be thinking the same as me. In that, does he deserve to be on here? Probably not. But you just have to figure out that he's a better player than what he's shown for Motherwell because he's showing it when he plays for Scotland in a wing back role as well, which I don't even think necessarily suits him.
Yeah, so I did. This is something O'Donnell. When I say slightly higher, he's 11th on my list. Is that he is someone who I initially thought, right, I'll put him quite high on because he's such a great reputation. He is a Scotland international. We know how good he has been in the past with Kilmarnock, how important he was attacking outlet for Kilmarnock. But I've not been that impressed with him this season. Speaking of Graham, asked Graham about him, and he kind of just said he's like just fine.
Yeah,
and you kind of want more.
There's not the marauding fullback that we saw at Partick Thistle. There's not really the assuredly reliable defensive fullback that we saw at Kilmarnock. There's just not been really much of that without him being kind of terrible as well. Like you said, he's been fine. He's made some big mistakes. But he's also better than Liam Grimshaw. That's not usually just what you need to get into our top 12. But like I say, it's just hard to leave him off with these kind of his performances for Scotland have been good. So you got to think there's a better player there than what he's shown.
Yeah, in a way, I think it's kind of telling that he signed a new deal for Motherwell because it did seem like he was all set to go down to England. Of course, the pandemic happened, so no doubt options maybe dried up. But the fact that he signed a short-term deal with Motherwell and then it seems like, when's his deal up? And then it just carried on and he's obviously signed on. So I think it's good business for Motherwell because he's, of course, got that capability of being such a key and crucial player the way he was for Kilmarnock. We've seen it before, how kind of devastating he is as a fullback. But I think it's perhaps that which has maybe clouded both our judgment. Okay, he's not been great. Just that even more so because we expect him to be even better.
Yeah, that's fair. Right, who's your number 12?
Richard Tate.
Oh, I have a lot higher.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
He's had an excellent season. And I've always liked him anyway.
I've always liked him, but I thought there were players higher. Basically, I think there's quite a lot of fullbacks who've had good seasons. And Richard Tate, he has been left out a bit by Jim Goodwin. So there's times when he's been on the bench and he's not been a first-team starter. But you could see, I kind of questioned why Motherwell let him go. and there was kind of noises that maybe that his legs weren't quite what they were at Motherwell. I think that was completely, that was kind of ended up being nonsense, because I mean, this is one of the fittest players in the league. He's an absolute machine. And straight away, I thought it was such a shrewd signing by St Mirren, because he can play as part of a back four and he can play as part of a back three as a wing back and either side as well. You can still see his crossing. He's always been quite a proficient crosser, an accurate crosser as well. I think that kind of stands up in the stats. He has made some brilliant... I think, again, he... Attacking-wise, he's good, but defensively, he's very rarely found out. He is aggressive. He'll decent in the air. He'll make those last-ditch blocks, last-ditch attempts. We've seen it quite early on in the season with St Mirren. He cleared one off the line spectacularly, and he does have that in his arsenal. The more I talk about it, the more it's like, why you've got him 12th? But I do. I like him, and it's probably harsh, but I do think there are cases to be made for those who I have further up the list.
He's weak in the air. that's going to be the negative I'm going to throw on top of your pile there. He's weak in the air. And for somebody who gets in a lot of positions, he hasn't really created many shot assists this campaign. But that might be due to the fact that most of the St Mirren's forwards are middling to average. Yeah. Right, my number... I'll get to Tate later on because I've got him quite a bit higher. My number 11 is St Johnson left-back Scott Tanzer.
Right. Okay. So I had to make. I've got a St Johnson left back that isn't Tanzer, and I've got him slightly higher up.
Callum Booth, who doesn't make my 12, but did come in at consideration.
So for me, my judgment call was Booth or Tanzer, and I'll let you talk about Tanzer, and I'll explain Booth when I talk about him.
Well, Tanzer is just a very good creative fullback. I think it's fair to say. He takes a lot of crosses. Delivers them a good percentage in terms of finding the target, moves quite proficiently with the ball, creates a number of, I made a spreadsheet basically for all the kind of main stats for every kind of starting fullback in the league, pretty much. And Tanzer ranked sixth for shot assists per 90 minutes, which when you think of the guys who are ahead of them, like they're all Celtic and Rangers players, I think, pretty much, maybe with one exception. He's also not, I think, in terms of his defensive abilities, sometimes not the best, but I don't think he's terrible either. He's a decent size, so he's fairly good in the air. He makes quite a lot of interceptions, so I just think there's a lot to his game, and I think, I mean, I considered picking both of them as a cheat.
I thought I was going to get told off from yourself.
Yeah. Well, I was going to do that if I could pick them at number 12, but then once I was like, nah, I'm going to shoehorn Odoro at 12. So I was like, I'm not going to do it at 11. That's just kind of being a bit too fast for the rules in the first couple of picks. But just, I think that Tanzer's probably a better all-round kind of defender than Booth, and I think they're both kind of equally good going forward, and the fact that Tanzer's a much better kind of threat from set pieces in terms of shooting, I think pushed them over the top for me. They're very similar. I can certainly see why Callum Davidson is kind of happy to rotate them in and out, and Booth started the cup final where Tanzer didn't, so you can maybe point to that being a case why Booth's ahead of him. But I think Tanzer's just a slightly better of the two overall.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, I can't argue much with Tanzer. I like him. I think he's developed well at St Johnstone, because I think we certainly had question marks about certain aspects of his game previously. But I'll get to Booth later on. Do you want me to say my number 10?
Your number 11. So your number 11 is O'Donnell, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, so we'll go with my number 10. And my number 10's Livingston right back, Nicky Devlin.
Okay, so I have him just a wee bit higher.
Yeah, Devlin didn't have a great start to the season, which certainly worked against him in my list. A lot of Livy fans were happy to drive him to his next destination. But since around about, pretty much since David Martindale took complete charge of Livingston, shall we say, I think he's been pretty excellent. And there's not a lot to say about Devlin other than the fact that his pace and ability to run with the football is what makes him the player he is. He's one of the best in the league at running with the ball, and as a result of that, gets a lot of touches in the box, makes a lot of kind of things happen. One thing is that he's not, for somebody who gets into positions as often as he does, again, somebody who doesn't have a whole lot of shot assists, but once again, that could be to do with the forwards that he's trying to pick out. Livingston haven't really had that focal point all campaign, certainly not in the manner that they did last season. Guys have come in and have done jobs for games at a time. Scott Tiffany done surprisingly well there early in the season. Scott Robinson had a period where he done well. J. Emmanuel Thomas is showing something. Poplatnik's kind of doing similar, but they don't have that kind of real guy to aim for. So I maybe wouldn't hold that against them too much. But yeah, in terms of Devlin, I mean, the guy's just, he's a fun player to watch because he's just so quick. He must be one of the fastest players in the league.
Yeah, so what you said there is bang on, especially about his start to the season. I mean, his performance against Hibs was absolutely abhorrent. He got subbed off after 45 minutes. He looked like a goalkeeper who'd been asked to play fullback. It was turned inside and out. And I think we talked about it previously in the season when I think it was Martindale at Tannadice, where he was screaming about like just wanting to stop the cross. Devlin never looked like stopping any cross, certainly at the start of the season. So he's had an interesting season, but when he's on his game, he is a hugely destructive force both ways, as defensively and attacking sense. When he isn't, he can look really, really bad. But I think I've pushed him up the list because I've looked for the good in him, and I know some Livingston fans were looking for him to be called up for the Scotland team. I don't think that was going to happen. I think probably Sean Rooney's ahead of him, and a few others are ahead of him, right back position. But I think there has been enough because of his good performances before, because of his positive impact on the team, for me to push him. I think I've got him eighth.
Right. So who's your number 10?
Now, my number 10, either you've got him a lot higher up or you just don't have him on your list, is Jamie Robson.
Oh, I don't have him at all. No.
Okay. I think that Dundee United fans would probably say that Liam Smith is their better fullback.
Yes, I would say so as well.
And he's more highly regarded. But actually, when I've watched United, I've actually been really impressed with Robson, especially at the start of the season. And I really like I think he's someone who can chip in both ways, very combative. I think he's decently there. Yeah.
He is combative as fuck.
Yeah, he's really aggressive. I just really like that in a fullback. And I think it's without saying specifics, looking at Y-Scout to look at Robinson, he's one of the better fullbacks in there in terms of winning his aerial duels. He reads the game well and intercepts the ball, and he absolutely does put himself about and get up and down the flank. And the fact, probably one thing that's made him stand out more than maybe Liam Smith or other fullbacks for me is he came through the academy, he was really highly rated, and then he just seemed to fall off a cliff. And obviously there was off-field incidents. And then I kind of thought, it's like he's
making... Allegedly involving a drink called Venom.
Yes. He is not going to make the most of his promise, his talent. And seeing that he was starting the game, starting for United when they came back up to the Premiership, I kind of kept an eye on him. And again, going back to something I've said, is that especially at the start of the season, I was really impressed with him, and he's kept in there. He's been consistent enough, so he is. He's probably my second surprise entrant.
Okay, I've got a surprise one coming up next, so I'm fine with this pick for you. Other than I don't think he does enough going forward. I think that he does a lot. He's got a lot of enthusiasm for it.
Yes.
But
he doesn't
his crossing's very poor.
He doesn't have the final third quality. But I think that's certainly something that needs to be worked on.
It is something you can work on. You do notice it with players. I'm actually listening to Marvin Bartley's interview with Open Goal the other day, and he was saying how Eddie Howe, basically Kieran Trippi, when he was at Bournemouth, like couldn't cross the ball at all. And Eddie Howe just kind of made the point of saying, right, you need to work on this. And then he just stayed behind after training for like an hour every day, just whipping balls in, and then eventually became one of the best crossers of the ball in the country, if not the world. And So I think it is a skill that you can get better at. You need to kind of have the kind of natural ability, and then you're just basically, it's from that point forward, it's basically like muscle memory. It's like a basketball player hitting a three-pointer. You're just trying to get your body doing the right things and picking out targets, and then once you practice it enough times, you will get better. And he will need to do that if he's going to become a top fullback in this position, in my opinion. You've already got him being one of the top fullbacks. For me, I wouldn't even have had him in my top 15. I just think there's too many flaws in his game so far. He also, I think for somebody as kind of energetic and athletic as he is, I think he could run a bit more with the football and a bit better while he's doing so as well. Right, my number 9, which I don't think you're going to have. This is somebody that I've rated for quite a few years. I always thought he looked like a decent player. He never really stands out because he plays for the least fashionable team in the league in one of the least fashionable positions. But I just think he's always solid, and I like him as a footballer. I've got Hamilton left back Scott McMahon.
I've got him higher.
I did not see that coming.
I have got him higher. I've got so 12 tonight. Yeah, I've got a couple places higher.
Amazing. I did not expect that. For somebody who doesn't really, like, you would never actually think, you would never look at Scott McMahon and think he's a decent attacking player, mainly as well because he can often fill in as the kind of left-sided centre-back of a back three.
Yeah.
And he's not blessed with great pace. He doesn't really move with power. He doesn't look like much of an athlete. But he's good at crossing. He's good at actually surprisingly good at running with the ball. He sets up a lot of chances. It's kind of some of the kind of knocks on his game he's solid enough defensively. I don't think he's like a shutdown defender, but he does a job. He doesn't really let you down. He's reliable. He's reliable, and he continues and he contributes to the final third. And I think in the modern day, that's all you really can ask for a fullback, regardless of how flashy or not they look.
Yeah, so I think at times this season, Hamilton fans, he's coming for a bit of criticism. But I think basically all Hamilton players are coming for a bit of criticism. Yes, someone like you, I've always thought there's definitely a player in there, but I've always never really thought of him as a wing back. I just, like you said, I think he's a left sided centre back in a back three or a left back. He is someone that I probably coming into this didn't. So he was one of the names I wrote down. I wrote him and Hodgson down because I think Hodgson's had a decent season as well, not nearly as decent as McMahon. So he was originally in my kind of long list of fullbacks, and then when kind of going through them. Use like looking at why I hadn't realized how important he was to Hamilton's attacking output. Like, how, like, going through what you said in terms of his dribbling, fourth best in the league in terms of accuracy. He's set up 4 goals, his crossing's good, he sets up chances. So, from someone who I thought was just more of a left back, he has been very, very important to Hamilton, and that's why I've got him seventh.
He's had 1.1 shot assists per game for a Hamilton player. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to check this now, see if there's anybody else who's got over one that's not an Old Firm player. Give me a second. Right, yeah. No. He's literally the only player, only fullback has over one shot assist per game that is not, it's not a Rangers fullback or Greg Taylor.
And you consider, sorry, my dog just walked out of the room, so if there's any background noise, it'll be him. You also have to consider that Hamilton is, they don't have a lot of the ball, which makes it even more. They defend deep. It's remarkable. So either there's some Skuif stats kicking about, but I think he's been decent, more than decent. I think he's been good, bordering on very good this season.
Who's your number 9?
My number 9 is Callum Booth.
Ah, right, yes. So you want to wax lyrical about Mr. Booth.
Yeah, so again, it was hard to separate Booth and Tanzer. I had them both written down. I was going to cheat and just have them both because they've essentially shared the same role this season. But Booth was a couple of years below me at school, so us Harrington boys have to stick together. And that is why I've opted for Booth over Tanzer. Now, St. Johnston, a big part of their game has been crossing. Give me 2 seconds, and I'm sure they have They're one of the most, they cross the ball third most in the league.
Is it third most?
Yeah, third most in the league.
It was second most earlier in the season. Hibs
have just edged them out.
Right.
Very, very little between them. But yeah, they cross the ball a lot. You mentioned that Tanzer's very good in attacking sense. He is. I think maybe Booth is a wee bit more of a more rounded player. He has the best crossing accuracy in the league.
Yeah, that is wild because it takes quite a few as well.
Yeah, so Tanzer's the crossing accuracy is decent. So is Rooney's, but nothing compared to Booth. So I think that
over,
is important.
Over 50%. It's wild.
52%. It's absolutely mental. And I think that's when you have something like that's massive for St. Johnstone the way they play. I don't think he's let them down at all. You think he was one of those signings which seemed like a good squad player, but he's came in and I think he's probably a wee bit more defensively solid than Tanzer. And I think maybe that balance kind of helps out with Rooney on the right hand side. So yeah, I got no issue with Tanzer, but I'm really pleased for Callum Booth. I've not spoken to him in a few years, but it's always good to see him in doing well because there's at times you think is he going to be kick on and be a Premiership player, and he has. I thought maybe his time was up when he left Dundee United as a potential for Premiership. Came in at St Johnstone and he's impressed.
Yes, like I said earlier, keep very close to making my list. My number eight, this might seem a little low, and I'll come on to the reasons, but my number eight is Hibs right back / centre half, Paul McGinn.
Oh, okay.
You've got number one or something, haven't you?
Very close to.
Right, I'll explain why for this. I think there is undoubted. If we're going on just this season alone, I think I would. So yeah, this is the 12 best players. This doesn't necessarily have to be best this season, as we kind of alluded to with Stephen O'Donnell at number 12. And I think if we're talking about this season alone, I would probably have McGinn in my top three. The reason I don't is I think he's got the ideal situation for him at Hibs in the team he's playing in. If he plays in as part of a four, he typically has Martin Boyle in front of him, which means that he doesn't really have to, at this stage of his career, he doesn't really have to do a lot of attacking and kind of focus on his defence. His attacking numbers generally aren't that kind of standout this season anyway, because he's played a lot of times in a back three, but he still does get forward a fair amount. Hibs give their centre-halves on either side, the kind of freedom to do that. He's been very good when he has been in the final third as well. He's shown a lot of the fact that he's got a lot of experience in the game now. I think he's about 30 now. He's somebody that I've always, every time he's been in the top flight, I've always thought he was a decent player. But I do think that Hibs is like the ideal situation and is getting the best out of him for this. And I just don't think in terms of ability and talent, there are, so if you could have took some of the players I've got ahead of them and put them in a situation like Hibs, I think they would do just as well, if not better, kind of thing. Or at least put them into a situation that's just that advantageous to their skills. And so I think McGinn has been helped out in that factor. But there's no doubt he has been consistently excellent for Hibs this campaign.
I'll speak about it. We'll speak about it half an hour time.
You should number eight.
Help if I numbered these 12, 11, 10, 9. So 8 was Devlin.
Right, 8 was Devlin.
And 7 was McCann for me. So I've spoken about them both.
Okay, let's go into my number 7 and 6. So my number 7, I've got Richard Tate.
Okay.
So a wee bit higher up from earlier on.
Yeah.
I've already spoken about Tate. Just a very kind of good crosser of the ball. Somebody, a lot of touches in the box for a fullback. A lot of passes to the final third. Somebody who's just kind of very progressive, can play, I guess, also should be said as well, can play on the left or the right very easily. He seems to play on the left a lot more, despite the fact he's right-footed. But he's somebody especially as well, at the start of the season, he was in excellent form for St Mirren. And he has been out with the team at times, but I think more often than not, he's in the starting 11. And it certainly, going back to the point we said earlier, it was a mistake for Motherwell to get rid of him, especially since of the fullbacks that Motherwell had on their books last season, he's the best.
Yeah, so I mean, it's looking, kind of talking about my list so far. I would certainly would have bumped them up, certainly a couple of places. I really like Richard Tate, and I hope he doesn't listen to this and like, fucking that cunt's got me 12 and doesn't like me.
Okay, number six. We're at the top half. My number six is Celtic's reserve left back, Diego Laxalt.
Same.
Hey, here we go. We agree on something. I mean, Laxalt gets a lot of stick, and justifiably in some cases, but I think it's fair to say if you take him away for Celtic and put him in another team in this league, he will look a lot better. The fact that he struggles so much for Celtic is that the weakest part of his game is his crossing, and he's got the second worst crossing accuracy of any fullback I looked at. And when you're playing at Celtic, and you, especially the kind of setup of this team this season, so a lot of times they've played, with a 3-5-2, which means that the onus is on you as a left-sided wing back to put in a lot of decent balls. You can't do that. They've played in a diamond again. Onus is on the left back to get up and get balls in the box. He's not done that. And even looking at games recently when they've gone back to the 4-2-3-1, on the left is Mohamed El-Younoussi, who doesn't play on the left. So the onus is still on the left back to put balls in the box. And that's not Diego Laxalt's strength. He's not good at crossing at all. What he is good at is he's very combative. He's great at a really good tackler. Somebody who's very good at breaking up play, can drive forward, runs a lot with the ball, gets forward, makes himself an option. Something that if you were the fan of any other club except for Rangers or Celtic, you would be loving this player, loving the way that he plays the game, but just because of what's required from him at Celtic,
yeah,
understandably not a popular player.
Yeah, so this is he was essentially someone I thought, right, he's got to be in there because he is obviously a very good player, but I just put him midway because he is a very good player, but because he's not been good enough for Celtic this season.
Yeah,
I do like he dribbles with the. He said it can't really add much to you. He dribbles with the ball very well. I like the fact that he's quite fouly as well. That adds to his kind of combative streak, because it'd be easy just to as a Celtic player kind of just be standoffish, and if you're not really up for the physical aspect of it, he is. He's been decent enough, just not what Celtic needed. He just had to be better for what Celtic needed.
Yeah, certainly. Right, we're into the top fives now.
Yep.
I'm wondering if there's anybody here in mind that you don't have at all.
Oh, shit.
I think you've forgotten my number five.
I think I've got one too many players.
Okay, next time, number them.
Oh, no. So, yeah, sorry. Laxalt was 7 for me.
Right, okay, so he's got 6. Right, who's your
bloody
number
hell.
6? Okay, we're not in the top 5. Who's your number 6?
Hold on. 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7,
who's been replaced
6.
By Duncan Mackay? 5, 4,
3. Yeah, I've got 13 players on the list.
Funny.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've got 13. Okay. Essentially, I am. I'm doing this on the whim. Richard Tate moves up 2 spaces. Stephen O'Donnell. Sorry, you've dropped off the top 12. So yes, Diego Laxalt was my number. the number 6.
Right. Okay, right, so we're out of the top fives after all. Okay.
Yes.
Right, my number 5 is Hibernian left-back Josh Doig.
Same.
Hey, here we go. I kind of came into this thinking, right, I'm going to have a feeling that Doig is going to be lower down in my list, and that's going to annoy Hibs fans, because I'm basically, my thought process was that there has been times this season where he's defensively looked a bit suspect, he's had to be kind of withdrawn from games as a result of that, he's been taken out the side at points. And I mean, that speaks to very good management from Jack Ross that he's done that. And maybe I shouldn't have used that against the player, but at the same time, we're kind of saying for McGinn, like, in an ideal situation. He's in a very good situation for himself as well, and that kind of has to come into play. However, he's just also just very good at a lot of things, so it's hard not to have him this high up. He's very good at running with the ball. Most in the league, most in the league for a fullback in terms of dribbles attempted per 90 minutes. Gets into the box a lot. He's puts in a number of crosses. In terms of his dribbling ability, I think that's maybe the one thing he's not particularly good at. He kind of loses the ball a lot of time, but he's young. That's going to happen. I'm not going to hold that against him too much. His crossing's fine. I don't think it's necessarily bad. It's not kind of elite level, but it's certainly enough there to work with and can get better. But he also, what I like about him as well, he's also a very energetic and combative player and someone who insists himself upon a game. And for a young player to do that, even for fullback, where it is a bit easier because you have the kind of game in front of you, it's still very impressive for somebody to come and be that confident and have that impact on matches that Doig is having.
Yeah, but I think this has been a massive, massive season for Doig. Obviously, he's got game minutes, but just the experience aspect of it, of being taken in and out of the team by Jack Ross, he struggled at times. I think he needs that. That's fine. A young player needs that, and it'll help his development. He's working under Lou Stevenson, who, of course, Doig has is a much higher ceiling of talent, potential, etc. and Stevenson, but I think Stevenson's someone who's experienced so much. Is just such a great role model. It's been said so many times before. You know who Doig reminds me of? There's aspects of his game certainly remind me of, and it is Kieran Tierney. Just his build, the way he moves, he looks like someone who, and I know he's done this before with through the youth teams, he can play centre back. I think he's got the qualities in him that he can play centre back, left back, and left wing back. Obviously, centre back preferably in a back three. I remember going to see it was a Hearts Hibs reserve cup match a couple last year or 18 months ago or so, and the game was terrible. It was shit pitch. There was a load of shit players on the on the pitch in terms of what they are aiming to do. Doig was by far the best player on the pitch. I came away thinking he's going to be a very 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 good player, and I'd be very surprised if he didn't make it. Remember asking, it was Lee Makel was the coach at the time for Hibs, asking him about him, and he did mention that the Hibs at the time had hopes for him as a centre back, but no, he's such a good player, and let's say he's got so many attributes. He's not a specialist at anything, which is so encouraging at that age. There's areas to develop, but nothing that Hibs fans go, there's a real weakness there that I can't see him getting better at. So out of the players who have come through at Hibs or the players that they've bought, he has the highest, probably have the highest ceiling of the current team and the player that they're going to make the most money on.
And released by Hearts.
Yes.
Good decision there. Fuds. Right, number four. I think we might have... Oh, wait, no, because you've got... Oh, wait. Where the fuck have you got Paul McGinn?
Oh, no, so Josh Doig was my number six.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. So is your five McGinn?
No, my five's Sean Rooney.
Right, okay, I have about four, so we can just both talk about him now.
Yeah, there we go.
Right, yeah, Sean Rooney, just a force of nature. I could say kind of a poor man's James Tavernier, just in terms of the sheer force that is coming down that right-hand side. Obviously, he's not got Tavernier's free-kick ability, but just like for somebody playing for right-back with so much power and... not pace, but kind of moving, like dribbling with that power, like the ability to almost run through people.
Here's what I think a Scottish right back should be.
Yeah. There's so many things. Like, he's quite creative as well. Like, short assists, he's just outside the top 10 in terms of starting fullbacks. Gets into the box a lot, but still kind of has defensive aspects to his game. He's obviously kind of like, I think he's a converted centre-back, so he's good in the air. He's good in one-on-one matchups with opposing attackers. He plays defensively like he does going forward, and that he's quite quite attacking, quite aggressive, quite progressive. Makes a lot of interceptions, and yeah, it's just in the couple of things that he's maybe not so good at. Doesn't crosses per 90 are a little low, but he's in terms of his crossing accuracy, he's quite good. So he's it's just maybe something he should do more of, kind of thing. So it's like just be encouraged. I'm like, yeah, you're scoring these goals and being just such as this really important player down in St Johnstone's right-hand side, but you could actually even be doing more in the final third, which is quite incredible to see considering his meteoric rise since January.
He's another one who can fit into that genre of fullbacks who can play centre-back. Because I remember watching the Dundee United game. I think this is the Dundee United game, the 2-2 game in January. It was a really good game. St Johnstone, again, were by far the better team that didn't come away with 3 points. And it seemed to be a wee bit of a turning point just because they played Melamed and Kane. And I thought that was a game that Rooney played as a right wing back, because obviously McNamara went back to Millwall. And I'm sure Rooney played as a right centre back in a back three, but he was coming bombing out of defence, and he was excellent. But then moving him to right wing back, he's just an absolute force of nature, and the way he moves, his ability just to carry the team up the pitch quickly, directly. I would quite like, and out of anyone on this list, there's no one better than there. He's just at times unstoppable. That goal in the Betfred Cup final, it was the Betfred Cup final where he just held off John Guthrie. It was just absolutely incredible.
Not an easy task, right there.
No, exactly. Just how he held him off with one arm and then just created that power with his forehead. I think he is. He's quite the character as well. I think he has that kind of gallousness that you want from your players in Scotland. And going forward, I'd quite like them to see him score more from open play. But in terms of getting in at the back post when the ball's on the left hand side, I think he could be such a threat there. When you see looking like a winger going up against him, is that you're going to have to be very smart to play against him, because he just his physical attributes that he can close down space so well. He can just knock you off the ball. He can match pace wise on the turn. You're just going to have to be very intelligent against him, and he's someone that I really really like.
Yeah, right. Number four is Paul McGinn.
Yes.
Why, you've got four whole places higher than me. So state the case why McGinn deserves to be in the top four.
So I have, not just based on this season, but based on kind of since he arrived at Hibs. I remember Hibs signing him and I'm thinking, well done, Hibs. That's great if you want to finish mid-table at best. And he has come in and he's been so solid and reliable. I did find the Hibs players quite difficult to place. Originally, I came into it thinking, right, Doig's going to be ahead of McGinn just because Doig is clearly, he's going to be the better player. He's got so much potential and talent. And then I wanted to get Tony's input. Paul McGinn has been utterly crucial in Hibs' ability to change shape at different stages of the season. I find him reliable defensively, energetic and proactive at his average. At his best, I've been shocked at his swashbuckling style, willingness to get in the box, play 1-2s, drive at teams in attacking sense. And he said that his influence in attacking sense has been obviously diluted with Boyle coming back in and playing wing back. He is second best. I found this mesmerizing in 1v1 and dribble, like taking on players, not defensively, but taking on players. And I think he perhaps doesn't get the headlines. He's not as sexy as other players in the Hibs team you're looking, or like a big name like Porteous, Nisbet, Jackson Irvine, Josh Stroig, etc. I just look at him and think he is a player that every team needs. He's not like the John O'Shea. Wouldn't go as far as John O'Shea, who fills in at every single position, but just someone who turns up and puts in at least seven out of ten. Every game, and can play in different positions. I look at him in his kind of Hibs version of Michael Smith.
Yeah, no, that's probably fair. I mean, I've said the reasons why I didn't have him quite that high.
As soon as Tony said typed the word swashbuckling, I was like, right, okay, he is going high. Tony won it for me with swashbuckling.
Fair enough. Right, out of the top three now. Now, I think we've both got the same guy at number three. I'm interested to see if... Because I think last year we had Barisic 1 and Tavernier 2. So I'll be intrigued to see if we've swapped it around this time and there's a consensus on that. But number three, Greg Taylor of Celtic.
Yeah, Greg Taylor is an underrated attacking presence.
Yes, and I think, well, Laxalt, I kind of went over the points why Laxalt doesn't fit Celtic. I don't think Taylor is that bad of a fit. I think it's just the fact that he's on a team that's... Firstly, he's fucking replacing Kieran Tierney, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you sold Tierney for what, 25 million? You're not going to get a replacement. You're just not going to get somebody as good as that, unless you're very, very lucky. And they've got Greg Taylor. He's not as good as Kieran Tierney. I don't think anybody's going to say that. But he is, in terms of Scottish Premiership, he's a very good left back. And Celtic have already shown this season that in trying to improve upon him, they've not really managed it. Now, Taylor, I think the knock on Taylor is that his crossing isn't good enough for Celtic. But the numbers say that his crossing is fine. It's not amazing at it, but percentage success rate of 35.9 this season is fine. It's absolutely fine. It's kind of, for fullbacks, it's kind of slightly high middle of the pack. Could you want better of that if you're Celtic? Yes, undoubtedly. But there are also aspects to his game which there are. He's certainly not middle of the pack. His tenacity from fullback, how good a defender he is, his willingness to get forward, the fact that he seems to have infinite energy and he's always bounding up down that left-hand side. There's a lot of... Greg Taylor, again, similar to Laxalt, plays for any other team in the league. Maybe even probably Rangers as well. I'm not saying he's as good as Barisic, but if Barisic had any length of time out and Greg Taylor was the backup fullback, Rangers fans would be delighted with that. I think it's just because he'd be playing in a better team. Where, and again, going back to the kind of reasons I was saying earlier about the way that Celtic have featured, have attacked teams at points this season, and maybe wouldn't show up as much weaknesses. And I don't know, I think Greg Taylor... I think Diego Laxalt will leave Celtic in the summer, head back to Milan. But I think that Greg Taylor, if he stays... you'd imagine he will stay past next season. He's certainly under contract, and I wouldn't think Celtic would sell him unless the new manager doesn't fancy him at all. But if a new manager comes in, gets Celtic looking like a functioning team for most of the campaign, then Greg Taylor will have a good season.
Yeah, he's for me the epitome of solid and reliable. And sometimes, again, that is not sexy enough for a team like Celtic, and he's... Like you mentioned, he's come in to replace Tierney. I think he's always on hiding to nothing. And it seems to me that it's going to go one of two ways. Is he'll stay with Celtic for a number of years. And when he leaves, he'll leave with a number of trophies and Celtic fans going, you know what? He's been a good pro. He's been absolutely fine, dependable, reliable, all those qualities, and he'll go with a lot of respect. Or Celtic will go out and spend a few million on another left back who'll come in and maybe do just as well, but be looked upon as being better just because there's been that Taylor's been Tierney's replacement, whereas there's been a bit of space before the new guy comes in.
Yes, right. Let's get into our top two. Who have you got at number two?
I've gone Borna Barisic, but there's a caveat.
So have I. I've gone Borna Barisic number two as well, which obviously means our number one is James Tavernier. Yeah. But let's start with Barisic first.
Barisic, in terms of actual talent, is by far the best fullback in this league. No, but by far. James Tavernier is not very good. So on his actual day, he is the best. Take it by far. He is the best. He's the best fullback in the league, and one of the best players. He is a fullback who does everything. He's really good in the air. He is such a great attacker. Defensively, I wouldn't like coming up against him, because as a fullback, he's probably got the ideal shape or body shape build for a fullback, in the fact that he's got long strides, he's built well, he's physically developed, he physically handled himself, like I said, good in the air. So there's kind of this commanding presence, ideal for set pieces, but it doesn't inhibit him going forward. He's still, even though he doesn't bomb forward like Sean Rooney, I still reckon he moves just as quick, but he does it in a much more... He'll just look, the way he strides just does a much more kind of calming fashion. Everything about him is just, he puts numbers on the board. He's very productive. He's just a very, very good football player.
Yes. In terms of technical ability, then yeah, I would say he's number one. I still think some of the physical attributes maybe come into with Tav, and also, as we'll get to, we'll speak to Tav, kind of defensive ability as well. Barisic probably has the edge in them in that two facets as well. So you can maybe say overall, but I remain unconvinced. But obviously, he's an outstanding player. Early in the season, his crossing percentage was wild. It was over 50%, and he was taking the most in the league.
Yeah. even now, both him and Tavernier are by far the most... the two players to cross the ball by far the most in the league, and even now, for the amount they cross the ball, it's still pretty accurate.
Tavernier's actually behind Taylor, Barisic is out in front.
Yeah, but they're like top five, or certainly top 10, maybe.
In terms of I'm just looking at fullbacks. The top three is Barisic, Taylor, and Tavernier, and then Tanzer after that. And then Ross Millen, who is not featured at all.
Oh, in terms of crossing accuracy, Booth will be top.
Oh, in terms of accuracy, yeah. Sorry, I was meaning crossings per 90 minutes.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry.
Accuracy, Booth is number one. It's surprisingly a couple of Killie players there, in McGowan and Waters, then Tate, then Rooney, then Barisic.
Yeah. So, I mean, because they cross the ball so much, being in the kind of top 10 in terms of accuracy is still very, very good.
Especially when
Rangers have loads of players in the box.
No, but also as well, it's a crowded box every time you're crossing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, you're not usually... It's harder to pick out a target, and you've got a crowded box is always better for the defensive team, and they're going to face... And he will face a lot of crowded boxes because teams have just sit back on Rangers, and certainly we've done more so as the season's gone on, and they've just been in the league invincible to this point. Right, number one, James Tavernier.
Always fine when we get to number one. We don't really, not much to say. Not much to say, just because it is...
He's very good.
He's very, very good. Of course, he's number one.
What is it to say about Tavernier that you don't already know? Scores incredible free kicks. Scores goals quite often, either penalties or just getting in the box to finish chances at the back post. Creates a lot of opportunities for teammates. The most adventurous fullback I've maybe ever seen in my lifetime. Scottish football, at least. The Blue Cafu, he certainly lives up to that kind of moniker in a kind of poor man's way.
I still think this has been the case ever since he arrived. He gets too much criticism for his apparent defensive inadequacies.
Yes, he's got a lot.
He's not the best defensive fullback, but fucking hell, he's still a very good defensive fullback.
He's a good defensive one-on-one defender, yeah. I think. He's good, he's got good size. He doesn't let players up by him very often. He's good in the air. It's always been his positioning and awareness and maybe anticipation that have let him down in the past, but all of them have got better as he's playing the top flight. I think this season, maybe even his best defensive campaign to date, he's certainly made very few mistakes, and you can't have a defence as watertight as that Rangers won the season and have your right back being a defensive liability. So he's no longer, let's just bin that forever. Tavernier is not a defensive liability.
Yeah, so he has had, he had a couple of brain farts last season, but it was part of a bigger brain fart of Rangers in general when they came back from Dubai. But this season, I think he's been he's bordering on perfect.
Yeah. He still has these stretches. I think this is why we bumped him down to number two last time, where he'll just have these periods where it's almost like a couple of months at a time where he just doesn't seem quite on it, and he's kind of best, and he seems to have them every campaign. But if he didn't have that, I mean, Christ, he would have scored about 30 goals a season. And yeah, I mean, the clubs. Well, you said to go to this, I was going to say, yeah, if he managed to do that for an entire campaign every season, like just be that much of a goal threat all the time from fullback, other clubs would have bought him. Are you surprised that he signed a new contract?
Yes, yes, slightly. I mean, reading different stuff, he seems very happy at Rangers. I mean, he's captain of a massive team. He's going to play in the Champions League next season. But it was kind of thought, now that he's kind of achieved that Scottish Cup, Scottish Premiership, that he thought maybe he'd fancy himself in the
EPL.
In the EPL, but I mean, fair play. He's not going to move into the Premier League and sign for a team probably in the Champions League. So, yeah, I can understand why he stayed.
Right. So last time we agreed on a definitive top 12, and I've pretty much just done one written down. Let me know if you have any sort of major quibbles with this. So I punted Jamie Robson to fuck.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say.
So number 12, I've got Stephen O'Donnell.
Yep.
Now, we'll need to do rock, paper, scissors for this. We're on Zoom, so we can do this. Tanzer or Callum Booth? So rock, paper, scissors, right? On three. One, two, three, go. Ah, you beat me. So number 11, we've got Callum Booth. Then at 10, Nicky Devlin. 9, Scott McMahon. 8, Richard Tate. 7, Diego Laxalt. 6, Josh Doig. 5, Paul McGinn. 4, Sean Rooney. 3, Greg Taylor. 2, Borna Barisic. And 1, James Tavernier.
That's not too bad.
That is not too bad. And I also said we'd maybe talk about a couple of other players that didn't go in. We already talked about Jason Naismith, Marcus Fraser, somebody else as well. We mentioned Liam Smith. Somebody else, Jake Carroll, came back to my little team this season. We had him in our top 12 last campaign. I think there's still a number of things he does very well, but the fact that he's just been kind of average for Motherwell this season since he's come back, I think if he sticks around for Motherwell another campaign, gets fit, I think he could easily jump back into our top 12 again.
Yep.
And Brandon Hornstrup at Killy is somebody who stood out for a number of kind of categories for fullbacks where he's quite impressive. But he's just... The fact that he's played for a poor Killy team probably hasn't helped. He makes some kind of daft mistakes in terms of his positioning and just kind of his general play at the back. But overall, definitely somebody that Killy can work with. And if Killy have a competent team next season in the top flight, or even if it's in the lower tiers, I think Hornstrup could have a very good campaign.
Yeah, I watched him when we were doing the summer signing podcast. I watched him and Mitch Pinnock. I thought Pinnock was absolutely terrible. He's turned out to be decent. Whereas Hornstrup, I think there was something there, and he's hit a level that I thought he would, or had the impact that I thought maybe he would. One I would like to mention is when they signed him, I thought, no, he's not going to be a good player. But he's, but you kind of just look at him. But anytime I've seen him, he's actually quite good, but he seems not to have played as much. Forgive me, Motherwell fans, not check this, but Nathan McGinley.
Yeah. I thought he's been okay as well when he's played, but he spent ages at the team. He's come back in for Carroll recently, which is kind of one of the final reasons why I decided, okay, Carroll's not making the top 12. But yeah, somebody else that's been a player who's pretty good going forward as well, from what I can remember at the times I've seen him this season. Good crossing ability. Doesn't look like, I think when he first arrived, you kind of thought, right, left or back three, definitely don't play a wing back. But he's actually looking better at wing back. He's kind of very kind of uncultured style about him, but it's effective.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned Lee Hodgson as well. I think he's had spells during the season where he's looked really good, and especially going forward. But over the course of the season, I've not been too Hamilton players in there. No chance.
Right, Joe, thank you very much for joining me once again. We'll be back either next week, week after, sometime in the near future.
Near future, yes.
To do the top 12 centre-backs. Until then, sorry, what are you going to say?
I just said I'll remember to actually number them next time.
Yes, please, please.
Fucking clown.
And if you'd like to hear more from us, you can do via the Patreon. So Sean and Telfer are recording a Patreon. And I've decided I'm going to stick that up on the £2 tier, so that's just £2 a month, and I mean it's Sean and Telfer, so how long do you reckon they're going to go on for?
If they go on for anything less than an hour and 45 minutes, I'll be very disappointed and be wanting my money back.
Well, there you go. You're going to probably get about 2 hours worth of glorious chat from the lower league experts, and it's I'm going to put it in there. I'm going to be nice to all the Patreons. It's going to be in the cheaper tier this time. So it's just £2 a month. I mean, how can you quibble with that? It's that podcast alone should be worth at least a fiver. So you're getting a bargain, absolute bargain. It's patreon.com/terracepodcast. Make sure to subscribe, support us, help us get bigger and bigger and bigger and more. And there's also some, yeah, we've got some podcast related news coming next week. But also, we want to say as well, thank you to everybody who's donated to the Kit for Kids initiative launched by Duncan Mackay. We are now up to, I think, £5,500. £5,000 was the initial target, so we've passed that. That's great. But obviously, as many as possible, because, you know, kits, even if I think we've been able to agree a bit of a discount on the first 5,000's worth, but even then, kits aren't cheap. So I think so far we would be able to kit out a good few hundred children so far. But obviously you want to do as many as possible. So please donate. I donated earlier today quite a noticeable sum of money. If I had it not been payday, I probably wouldn't have been as that generous, but I thought, fuck it, I'll go for it. And so I've donated a large sum, but just give whatever you can. He says, just for no reason, bigging himself up. Look at me! look at how generous I am. What a wanker! Anyway, I'm gonna stop this podcast before my mouth run away any further. Joel, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. Cheers. Podcast Network.